Good morning. We definitely have some praises this morning. I know Bobby and Tina aren't here this morning, but you want to talk about the covering of Jesus and the protection of our Lord. Tina and Bobby were in a tragic car accident this past week. Their car flipped over. They had to cut Tina out of the car, but they walked away. There's no broken bones. We would have a lot to praise the Lord about. They're stoved up, they're sore, but they're here. Amen? Amen. And keep them lifted up in your prayers, but continue to praise God that He shows His protection. He shows His care for us each and every day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Love with seeing the greetings this morning. Brad, we're so glad you're here. We've been praying for you, brother. And your vacation looked wonderful. You and Cindy were able to enjoy each other, and we're just so thankful that continued healing that God's been doing in your life and Cindy's life. So praise the Lord. Good. Amen. What a witness. Continue to pray for Marcia and her family, her brother, her sister, and the Spung family. Continue your prayers.
Marcia also has surgery on her knee Tuesday.
Oh.
She has a torn meniscus.
And look, pray for Marcia's surgery on Tuesday. Any other praises? Any other prayer requests? Yes, Robert. Everybody, welcome Robert this morning. Connor brought a friend. We're thankful for you this morning. Joan Curry's mom. Yeah, continue to pray. Yeah, that is a praise. She's coming home. Joan Curry and her family continue to... Oh, look at Bobby walking in here. We were just talking about... We were just talking about you and Tina, Bobby. Praising the Lord. Here's Tina's coming. Yes, we were just talking about that, Bobby. About the protection of the Lord around you and Tina. Amen. We were just talking about you, Tina. Give him praise to the Lord about his protection on you and Bobby. You're welcome. It says in the Word, shout joyfully to the Lord. What are you supposed to do? Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and delight. Come before His presence with joyful singing. Now and fully recognize with gratitude that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves, and we are His. We are His people. And the sheep of His pasture. Enter the gates with the song of thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him, bless and praise His name, for the Lord is good. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The Lord is good. His mercy and loving kindness are everlasting. His faithfulness endures forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We're going to enter His gates with thanksgiving, and we're going to enter with praise on our lips this morning. And let's go to God this morning for our praise and worship to Him. Father God, we come into this sanctuary. We come into this sacred time of worship and praise. And Lord, my prayer is that as we enter into this sanctuary, that the Holy Spirit comes upon us. That we come in with this great expectation. This expectation that we are going to hear from you. We're going to be transformed by the praise and worship this morning. And not just for ourselves. Even though we need to see the evidence of your goodness in our lives. And we ask for that. But also that we may leave this place and we may affect those around us, Lord, that they may see us as a living, breathing, walking testimony of who you are, that we serve a living God, that is able to transform. Because if you are able to transform sinners like us, you're able to do it for everybody else. Amen, Father God. And so this morning, that is my prayer for each and every one of us. That we come with thanksgiving, gladness, and praise. That we're going to shout praises to you. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord. But it isn't just for us. You call us to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And that requires us to move in the Spirit. That requires us to open our mouths and to speak your goodness to those that need to see it in their lives. And all these things, the prayer requests that we have lifted up to you, the healings that we've requested, the thanksgiving of protection over the ones that you have given to us, the comfort that needs to be sent, we pray, we lift those up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. What is praise, church? It is not quiet. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to give the Lord praise about. Amen. Let him hear it. Let it be a sweet fragrance in his court this morning. Amen.
Our greeting today is taken from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are celebrating again and still Independence Day and the 4th of July. And in that, we understand your presence in this country and your need for your presence in this country. And we thank you for that. We thank you for being here. And we ask that you would touch the hearts of those in Congress and the Senate, of our president. Allow them to understand the only way we can go forward in this country is to come to you. So we thank you for that. And we thank you for the gifts given today so that we can further your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Because it says here, pray for our leaders. Amen? All right. You know, the truth of it all, that all the stuff here on earth we work so hard to buy and accumulate does not mean a thing. At the end of the day, people are cleaning out our stuff, going through our stuff, figuring out what to do with our stuff, this stuff we've accumulated in our life. The only thing of value that remains are the memories and what we deposit into others. May we all learn to spend less time accumulating stuff and spend more time making memories. Amen. You know, I think about to the stuff in the parking lot that we had, making memories. I think about the times we spend together here in the sanctuary, making memories. I think about the times when we go out and do things for others, making memories, because it's not about the stuff that we have. It's about what we've seen and what we've felt and what we've had and what we shared with others. You know, sometimes I think, we've just got a lot of family stuff going on and it's just getting to be too much. But you know what? When the family is not there and you look around, what do you have? The memories. All the good memories of growing up, all the good memories of parents that have passed, all the good memories of grandparents that we loved. All that stuff means nothing. All those memories mean everything. But you know what? It says the things that are important are the memories of what we deposit into others. What we deposit into others. My Bible. Do we share that with others? Can we give some of that to others? Can we make memories of giving others?
what God's word is? I think we can. We just need to step up and step out of our comfort zone and share all the memories we have. Amen? Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to help us search for ways to share his word. Amen? This is my Bible. It contains the word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
We're going to be in John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth book of the New Testament, in chapter 17 this morning. America's desire, our passion to be one nation under God seems to be diminishing, doesn't it? That beacon of hope, that great city on the hill, our light seems to be dimming. So much so, our youth, our young adults, about Grant and Grayson's age, have never seen our country truly reflect our name, the United States of America. The United States of America. And when you think back, when was the last time that we could truly say that we were united into a common goal, love for country and God? It's been a long time, hasn't it? And there's no question that we're living in a time that division is ruling our country, our world. It's not just here, is it? We're on the brink. Listen to the news. That's all you. We're on the brink. Nations are conspiring against each other. We've never been closer than we are right now. We have division politically. Our government leaders of all sides speak eloquently about desiring to unite while adding to the dissension and unreconciliation effort. There's an effort to be unreconcilable, isn't there? And we are all aware of the racial division that has plagued our culture from the creation of our nation. The division within the family units has skyrocketed within the last 20 years, and it shouldn't be a surprise to us that the more our country and the more our culture is divided, the more our families are negatively affected. And right now, we are feeling that. We are feeling the effect of a divided country impacting our individual lives and our economy, aren't we? We are feeling it. I got my husband to go to Zanesville. That was a miracle. I don't know why he doesn't like Zanesville. I love Zanesville. But I knew what would get him to go. I was going to surprise him. I wasn't going to tell him. I was just going to be like, we're going to go in the car. I'm going to put in GPS where we're going, and you're just going to drive. That doesn't work. So I told him, I'm like, you know what? I wanted to do something special with you. We both have the day off. And I know you're not going to go if I just blindly just say this is, you know, where we're going. So I told him, I'm like, I want to take you to Tom's Ice Cream Bowl. See, I bribe them with food. I don't know if that works for you, but it works for me and it works for him. And I said, I want to take you to Tom's Ice Cream Bowl. And did I have an ulterior motive? Maybe. You see, I love Sam's Club in Zanesville. I do. I'm going to be honest. I love the feeling that I never have to buy paper towels again. I love the feeling that I never have to buy toilet paper again. Toothpaste. It makes me want to buy a deep freezer. Okay? It does. I love the Sam's Club in Zanesville. You know, different Sam's Club have different things. So after I filled his belly up with lunch and ice cream, he's like, you want to go to Sam's Club? That is such a great idea. Yes, I do. Thank you so much. So as we're leaving Sam's Club, I'm like, babe, do you need to get gas? He's like, oh no, I'm good. He's like, I got a little over half a tank. Are you sure? Gas with the Sam's Club membership is $3.25 here. Paul. My point is we get excited for $3.25 gas. It was $3.49 when we left Newark. And he said, you serious? Well, I'm just going to turn around. He got excited about $3.25. That's where we're at. That's where we're feeling the effect of a divided country impacting our individual lives. When families can't afford meals, housing. You can't find affordable housing. And you can blame whatever you want to blame. Intel. You can blame it. But that's where we're at right now. The reality and strain of a divided nation becomes relevant and personal. And now more than ever, not only are we witnessing the division of a nation, that there's division in Christ's church. Division. And this is the one thing that breaks my heart the most, and it should break all of our hearts the most. It says in Nehemiah 1:4, Nehemiah's prayer to God has always stuck with me. When Jerusalem was broken, it was a broken society, was exiled, was divided, he wept, he mourned, and he prayed, God, break my heart. Break my heart for what breaks yours. And I know some of us, we have a lot of our own heartbreak. But when we ask God, God, I want to feel that breaking of my heart, just like whatever breaks yours. And one thing that breaks God's heart the most is the division in his church. We have young generations that not only know broken, exiled, divided, scandalous churches. That's all they know. That's all they see. The subject is the most streamed documentaries on Hulu, Netflix, and HBO Max. And I know that for a fact. Top 10 most streamed, usually every week. That's the topic. And you wonder why church numbers are declining with younger generations, because the only examples that are being exposed are what they're seeing. And it's not just with the streaming documentaries. All over the headline news are stories of prominent church figures falling. Division in denominations. Scandals. We have local churches here in our own community going through such heartbreaking division, and Satan is on a roll. And Jesus Christ, one of the longest prayers ever recorded in scripture in the Bible, is found in John 17. And in that prayer, he's going to reveal to us the secret. It's a secret because he's not praying for everyone else. He's not praying for the world, and he says that. He says, I'm praying for you and me and all those that will follow me. All those that are to come. That's you, that's me, and your children. He's going to tell us something that should be life transforming in light of all the divisions surrounding us. In this moment, Jesus is about to be arrested. He's just taught communion to his disciples in the upper room. He knows he is going to be arrested. He knows that the cross is coming. And this is his final prayer. And what is he praying? Who is on his mind? You, me, and his church. That's who's on his mind. He knew how crazy it was going to be. He knew how hard it was going to be. And you think right now for us in this time in our history, church, that it's hard? You should have seen it with a first church. The deaths. The martyrs, the stoning, the burning, being fed to the lions for being followers of Jesus Christ. How blessed are you sitting here this morning? We want to talk about how hard it is. He knew it. The Roman soldiers and the religious rulers are preparing and ready to come and arrest him within 24 hours, being the process of taking Jesus to the cross. Jesus knows this, and one of his last prayers before his death, it is so important for us to understand it, to read it. He told those in his presence that night, not only am I praying for you, I'm praying for all of those who will come after you, who believe in me because of your word. And then he says that they all may be one. That they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe without doubt that you sent me. And could we agree that nothing on earth is more valuable to God than his church? Why? Why would God be so concerned about his church? Because we are called to build his kingdom, continue the mission of Jesus Christ on earth as it is in heaven. That was so important to God that he sent his son to the cross. So why wouldn't it be that important for us? Why isn't it? The Bible says make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. If there was something more important to Jesus, he would have included it in this prayer. Wouldn't he? A dying man's prayer. And Jesus tied other people coming to Christ with this unity. He said other people would believe in him when they see us, his church, loving each other, living in unity, reaching out. This is Jesus' vision, goal for anyone who claims him as their savior. It's not individual. You can't be an individual Christian. It was meant to be in fellowship and unity with other people, other followers. The Bible talks more about Christian love and unity than it does about heaven and hell. Fun fact. In the next verse, Jesus' prayer said that God gives us his glory so that we will be unified and others will see. I have given them the glory that you have given me, and that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. And the purpose of God's presence in our life, that there is evidence that is visible to others, especially those that don't know. We're living, breathing, walking testimonies of the Bible, the truth, God's word. And we may be the only thing that they see of Jesus. And there's a promise when we live a life of unity as Christ's church, demonstrating love. I have given them glory and honor, which you have given me, just as you have given him power and authority over all mankind. Jesus said he gives his glory, his power to those who live in unity within his church. Wow. Don't you want that power, that strength, that glory? But there's something different about them. They're not like, well, everybody else. To those who live in unity, the body of Christ. And Dr. Evans gives this example, and I love it about unity. A football team consists of different players filling different positions with different roles, right? When we think of a football team, there's all these different positions, all these different players, these different talents on this football team. And just as the church, each one of you has a God-ordained unique gift given by the Holy Spirit that empowers you to do in order to build the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. The members of the praise band have unique gifts. I can't play the guitar. I can't play the drums. I don't even want to try. And there's other people that you don't see their gifts on Sunday. Those individuals that use their time, their talents, their skills with the upkeep of the church property in Vesper Hills. We don't see that every Sunday, but we can see the evidence of it, can't we? generation after generation of people who have cared and loved this church, we see evidence of it. We don't see them doing it on Sunday morning, but it's visible. The members reaching out into the community, bringing them in, being witnesses. How did we get here? Someone invited us here. Or we were walking down the street and the Holy Spirit said, hey, you need to come in. Go through those doors. The Sunday, Catherine Sunday School class, the women's group who sacrificially pray for our church. We may not see them praying, but we certainly have seen the evidence in our lives of it. Good Lord. The walls that have been broken because of these women praying for us. And I know it. I've seen it. I felt it in my own life. Bonnie and Sean, their nursing home ministries. It's beautiful. We don't see them do it. They don't talk about it. But it's affecting other people's lives. Different roles, but the entire team. The entire team has one purpose. And it's reaching the goal line. It's not huddling. We're in a huddle. You don't watch a football game or go to a football game to see the huddle, do you? You want to see some action. You want to see them go to that goal line and you're jumping up and you're like, go, 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 go. They're not just talking about what they're going to do. They're doing it. That's the purpose. And that's the purpose of the team, God's team, the church, is not just to talk about it, not just to huddle, but actually go to the goal line of building his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's the goal. That's the purpose, and we all strive for it. We're all moving towards it, doing our parts. Our effectiveness is determined by our unity. Can I get an amen on that? Our effectiveness. And that's why Satan is working so hard at causing division, scandal among Christians within churches across this country, the world, especially in our community. Especially in our community. Why? Because we're getting some headway, aren't we? Chris Gordon has shared some statistics on how the overdoses, the percentages, we're seeing some miracles in lives. Oh, isn't that angering, Satan? So what is he going to do? He's going to stir the pot. Stir it up. Let's get some dissension, some deceit. Let's put a little ring in someone's ear. You're not getting enough attention. They're not listening to you. You're not important to them. Don't they know you're anointed, you're gifted, and you're more important? When you're outside of the unity, the Bible says, when a member causes disunity, dissension, and deceit within the body of Christ, what are you supposed to do? Send them out. That seems harsh, doesn't it? But what did God have to do to Satan? Get him out. That's why Satan was kicked out of heaven. Pride had a lot to do with it, but he was causing disunity and deceit within the heavenly realm. Our love for one another will show the world we belong to Jesus and be a testimony of the power of Christ to transform lives. I am a living, breathing, walking testimony of the unity of Faith Church. I want you to know that. I want you to hear that. We've been so blessed to have leadership that has worked to that common goal of building God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. My life was transformed when the only thing in my life that was steady and consistent was this church. Why? This prayer tells us. It says, sanctify them in truth. Set them apart for your purpose. Make them holy. Your word is truth. That's how a church, that's how Faith Church has stayed steady and consistent, is because we believe the word of God as truth. I know a lot of us here in this sanctuary, we're going through times that are not steady. They're not consistent. There's turmoil. There's sickness. There's devastation. And us, you, me, as Faith Church, our purpose of being on the corner of Main and Arch building God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven through the truth that we know that is the Word of God. That is what unites us. Amen. And as we gather around the communion table this morning, we are reminded of that profound, how profound that unity Jesus was praying in this John 17. He prayed that we may all be one, just as He and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. This unity is not this lofty idea that is not obtainable. It is a powerful reality that we live through this body. And when we break the bread and drink the cup, we participate in this sacred, this holy moment representing Christ's body that has been broken for us. The cup symbolizing His blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And through these, we are united with Christ and we are united with each other. We don't come to the table alone. We come to the table with each other. In the presence of Christ. And it is a tangible experience. Something we see, something we come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. When we take the bread and drink the juice. That love that binds us together. And we're reminded that Christ's sacrifice on the cross was not only for our salvation, but also to unite all of creation, all of humanity. So as we break the bread and drink this morning, let us fill our hearts, renew our commitment to live out that unity that Jesus so prayed for us. The moment He was heading to the cross, it was so important to Him that we live in unity and love with one another. Because what's the evidence that everybody's going to see? They will know you are My disciples through your love. Your unity with each other reminds us we are called to be a people set apart, united. And I pray that this would be a powerful witness in our community that people need to see. Because everywhere around, they're seeing division, they're seeing chaos, fighting, deceit, dissension. The one place you should be able to find something opposite of the world is God's church. If anywhere else, it should be here. Let's pray. Father God, this morning as we prepare our hearts, our spirits to take part in your communion that represents your body that was broken for us and your blood that was poured out for us, let us take this moment. Where there is any disunity in our lives, any disunity in our spirits, Lord, that we pray for your healing. We pray for your wisdom. And it also says that we are to consecrate our hearts before we approach this table. We come to you asking for forgiveness of our sin. Humbly, we ask for forgiveness, whatever that may be. Whatever we're putting ahead of you in our lives. Wherever we've moved and we've not asked for your direction, Lord, we ask for forgiveness because we never want to move outside of you. We always want your hand to be upon us, leading us, guiding us. And we also pray for the things that we don't do, the things that you've called us to do, that you've spoken to us through your Spirit for us to do for building your kingdom, and then we don't do it. For whatever reason, because we prioritize things above you, we pray for forgiveness. Strengthen us, and we come. We come to receive strength, healing through your broken body, the bread, and through the blood that you poured out for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He gathered His disciples and He took them to the upper room and He taught them the communion. He raised the bread, He gave thanks for it, and He said, "This is My body broken for you. Take and eat it in remembrance of Me." And then He raised the cup and He gave thanks for it and He said, "This is My blood that is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take it and drink it in remembrance of Me." You don't have to be a member of this church or any other church to take part in the Lord's Supper. The requirement is that you believe. You believe that Jesus Christ was God's Son and that He was sent to be a sacrifice for you, for your sin. And through Him, there is forgiveness, there is redemption, and there is a restoration. And that when they put Him in that tomb on the third day, He rose again. Most important part, He just didn't stay in that tomb. He came up out of that. Heavenly Father, we come before You with gratitude, mindful of what was on Jesus' heart and His mind through His prayer. He prayed for us, those that would come to the faith. He prayed for our unity as His church, just as You, the Father, are in the Son and the Son is in You. We are called to be one in them. And we may not be completely able to understand it, but reflecting the unity, the Trinity, that perfect, unbroken, eternal union, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one. And as we gather in this moment, as we remember that ultimate sacrifice of Your Son, we ask for You to strengthen our unity within the body. May it reflect that perfect unity of the Trinity in our relationships, in our speech with one another. Help us to live out this unity and love, serving each other. And this invitation that You extend to us to meet You at this table where people receive the gift of Your life and experience it flowing through us. Feel it telling us in Your word that we are Yours. You did it for all of us, for the sake of our salvation, for the sake of our eternal life, in order to demonstrate Your love. And then You call us to be the ones to demonstrate Your love to all the world. Your word promises that Your church will be prioritized. Our vision of building the kingdom according to Your truth, which is Your word, that the gates of hell will not prevail. And we thank You for Your promises. We thank You that You are a God that cannot fail, that You will never leave us or forsake us. And those things, we give You praise, that Your word is true, that it never changes, and You are an unchanging God in a world that is always changing, in a world that is always compromising. You never, ever will. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's right, we're not just going to huddle about it, are we, Bobby? We're going to go play. And Jesus said, as You have sent Me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Do not fear. You are not sent alone. We are not sent alone. And as you go, remember, you are one of God's chosen. You're one of His children. You have been set apart. You have been anointed to do the work that He has called us to do, building His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Now go out in peace and come back in His great love.